Okay, we are sponsored this morning, as usual, by the Greensteins in memory of Yomi Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon. Weekly breakfast sponsored by Bagelman, Shalili Nishmas, Fega, Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zaev. Okay, we are on Maseches Megillah, Daf Talit Amud Aleph. The last two words of Gimel Amud Beis. V'yamar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. This Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi is an Amora, early Amora. He sometimes gets his way into Bryces, so he's maybe a transitional Amora. And he has a number of things to say here about Megillah. So it says here, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Lud V'ono V'geya Harashim. These are three cities or towns. Mukafos Choma Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun Havu. He's reporting to us that these are three places that were Mukaf and Choma, Mimos Yehoshua Ben Nun, and therefore the significance of that would be Kriyas HaMegillah on Tesva. It may have been kind of random and maybe miscellaneous, if not for the fact that I think Rabbi Shua Ben Levi actually lived in Lud. So this was a very relevant halacha for his purpose. So in any case, he says that Lud, Anono, and Ger HaRashim are Mukavos, Chomi, Yosef Ben Nun. Rashi points out that there's a Mishnah in Erechin that says so explicitly about Ono and Lud, although Tosis points out it's just Ono that the Mishnah says. In any case, so fine, so the same kind of a thing, that it goes all the way back to the time of the invasion of the Knesset La'aretz, originally under Yeshua Ben Nun. Gemara asks, it doesn't make any sense. V'hani Yehoshua banani? Wait a minute. Do you mean that Yehoshua built these cities up? V'ha el po'el banani. So before you go on, it's just interesting that the way the Gemara understands what Mukafas Choma Miyamos Yehoshua Ben Nun means, it means that Yehoshua built them. That is interesting. Okay, I mean, it didn't necessarily have to be that way. It could have been that these were Canaanite cities that the Jews took over. But this Gemara is kind of describing that Yehoshua was, or you know, under his leadership, that these cities were built, at the Knesset La'aretz. So it doesn't, at the moment of Knesset, means that that generation built these cities. The Gemara asks, but it can't be, because we have a pasuk, the Elpa'el Banani. Some guy named Elpa'el, one of the descendants in the family of Binyamin, as recorded in Divrei Hayamim, says that he built this city. Dechsiv, Obenei, Elpa'el, some people, Avar, Misham, Shamar, Hubana, Es Ono, V'yes Lod, Uveno Seha. It says that this Elpa'el was the guy who built these cities, and that was much, I guess it's unclear exactly how far in history. This was part of just a list of names and people in the family. Hard to know exactly when this was happening, but either way, it was not at the time of the Knesset La'aretz. The Gemara says, well, what kind of an objection is that? Well, the Taimach, if you're going to object on the grounds that there's a pasuk that says somebody later in history built them, Asa Banani, Melech Asa from much later on, is also kind of described in the Psukim as having built these cities. Dechsiv, Ayiven, and there's a question about the Psukim, because there comes some similar Psukim in the area. Are Mitzuda B'Yehuda, or Are Mitzuras B'Yehuda, which implies that these fortified cities in Yehuda were built by Asa. Oddly enough, these cities, Lod and Onagir Harashim, are not in Yehuda, they're in Binyamin, but they're nearby, and Yehuda apparently was kind of overseeing the territory of Binyamin also. So the Gemara considers this to be a kind of a contradiction that we have a question about who's really building these cities, Lod and Ono and Geya Harashim, that Rosh Ben Levi tells us is from Yeshua Ben Nun, and we have at least one pasuk explicitly from later in history, sort of, from Elpa'el, and then the Gemara considers that the pasuk about Asa, Melech Yehuda, being also kind of credited with having built these cities. The Gemara says, what's really going on here, you have to say, is Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar explains what's going on. Hani Mukafas Chami Meshachua Ben Nun Havu. Really, these cities were originally built in the time of the Knesset La'aretz, originally under Yehoshua Ben Nun. But Charabi may Pilegish Begiva, but they were decimated in the general destruction that the other Shevatim brought against the Shevet Binyamin under that very despicable incident of Pilegesh Begiva, recorded at the end of Shoftim. And when it describes there many places, many cities in Binyamin were attacked and were destroyed. The Yasa El Pael. So El Pael now comes and Banani, and he rebuilds the cities. So apparently a rebuilt city from Yeshua Ben Nun time, like it says earlier, is still going to count as a city. For that matter, it says even earlier that even if they hadn't rebuilt it, it still would have counted as a Mukav Choma. But then we're being told that Hadar in Pol, so Asa, so this Melech Asa now came later on, after the city again kind of fell apart, and Shaptsinu, and fortified it and rebuilt it and fixed it up. And Dekadami Dechsiv Ayomer Liyehuda Nivne Es Ha'arim Ha'ila. And you could also tell that it seems to be that way from the Psukim. The Pasuk kind of describes that Asa's reconstruction project is Ha'arim Ha'ila, as if these cities had already existed. These were not new cities in open territory. Mechlav the Arim Hava Meikar Reshma Mina. Okay, what we got out of all of that was that a number of cities here identified as Mukavas Chama. We don't these days really know the identity of any of these places, although I'm not really up to date on my archaeology, so maybe we do by now, I don't know. But at least there are no places, as far as I know, in the Lud area that they're actually keeping Shushan Purim on Shushan Purim, on the assumption that what we call Lud is not Lud. And we don't really know exactly where these places were. But if we did, then based on this Gemara, then these would be Shushan Purim, days of celebrating Purim. Okay, V'yam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi has a couple of more significant halachos for our purposes. Rabbi Shua ben Levi now is telling us, again, he's an early Amora, Nashim Chayavos b'mikra Megillah. Women are obligated in the midst of Kriyas HaMegillah, she'af hein hayu b'yoso ha'nes, because women were also in the Nes. Rashi identifies the Nes as being the salvation against the threat of doom under the edict from Haman, and in which case it was all the Jews that were targeted, and so women were part of the same Yeshua. So therefore, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, which is specifically for the sake of Pursume Nisa of that Yeshua, will include women as well as men, despite the fact that it's mitzvah saseh, shazman, grama.
There's a question from before. Do we have any places other than, like, Yerushalayim that keep Shushan Purim?
Well, we're going to see a Gemara later on that mentions Tveria as being a Mukav Choma place.
In today's day and age, do we have something?
What?
In today's day and age, do we have a place?
Tveria is still today. And that's really about it. As far as I know, we don't have any places that are keeping a vadai. You have some places where they're keeping safek mukav chomas, but you don't have any places that are vadai mukav chomas. Except Shushan. I don't have any Jews are in Shushan. Could be some. Might still be a... What? Right, they have 2-day yontifs. I think Tveria is one of these 2-day yontifs. We'll have to see. So, okay, so in any case here, the women have a mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah. The Braisos, there are no Mishnayos and Braisos or anything that say that women are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah. This is something that Rav Shua ben Levi is emphasizing over here, and it's very possible that he was actually part of the original team of people that actually are starting this, rather than are just reporting that this was always the case. Because there are braises that are explicit. The Tosefta said beferish that Tosis quotes it over here. Tosis is more explicit in Erechin that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah without mentioning any concept of Afein HaBiyos HaNeis. The truth is, Afein HaBiyos HaNeis, is used in three places. Over here for Kriyas HaMegillah, and there is Chanukah. Chanukah candles, it says, women are obligated Chanukah candles because Afin HaBiyosu HaNes, and they're obligated in Dalet Kosos at the Seder because that's also Afin the Seder is, at least the Dalet Kosos is part of the Seder, or miscellaneous other mitzvahs of the Seder, Afin HaBiyosu HaNes. That was also for the Nes of the Yeshua. In each case, there's no mention of this in any Tanayim, in any Mishnayos or Braisos, and it's always Rabbi Shua ben Levi in all three cases who makes the same remark. He says women have to do this mitzvah, they have to do Chanukah candles, they have to do Dalet Kosos because Afin Hayu Biyosu Hanes. So at any rate, it's interesting. This is what lends the strength to the argument that women, although it says here in the Gemara, that are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah, but it's not the same as men. Because men have an obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah all the way back, and women perhaps have a later obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah that presumably is not going to rise to the same level as the original Takana, when at least with respect to Kriyas HaMegillah. For Chanukah candles, you don't really see it so much, and it's not relevant for Dalet Kosos. So in any case, it says that's why it says on the side over here, the Halachas Gedolos wouldn't let a woman motzi a man for the Kriyas HaMegillah, because you put together all these Makoros and it comes out that it's not exactly as straightforward as it seems from our Gemara, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, just asserting, kind of as a simple matter of a simple tradition, that women are the same as men. It's not exactly what was going on here. The Yom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi also tells us another thing. Purim Shachal Yos B'Shabbos, if Purim falls on Shabbos, Shoalim V'Darshim Be'inyano Shel Yom. Remember that Rabbi Shua ben Levi lived at the time before they established a fixed calendar, so there was still a certain amount of variability and of ad hoc decision-making going into the Kriyas HaMegillah time and the calendar generally. And so I guess it was theoretically possible in his time that Purim could fall on Shabbos. It cannot fall on Shabbos for us, except that Shushan Purim still could fall on Shabbos. Purim could fall on Friday. Shushan Purim can fall on Shabbos. But we don't have a Yadalit Adar falling out on Shabbos. So it says here, Vem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Purim Shachal Yos B'Shabbos. If that happens, Shoalim V'Darshim B'Inyano Shel Yom. You're not going to read the Megillah. That's clear from the Mishnah and Daf Beis, that you're not reading the Megillah on Shabbos. But you can't neglect it altogether until you have to Shoalim V'Darshim B'Inyano Shel Yom. So perhaps that means Kriyas HaTorah, which would be the case. You would lane the Purim laning on Shabbos itself. Or perhaps, like Rashi says, you would actually have to have kind of a formal shiurim. You'd have to have a formal shiur on the story of the Purim story on Shabbos, so as to kind of substitute for the Kriyas HaMegillah, which would have been, but isn't happening on that day. Where it says, well, hold on a second. My area Purim. Well, why does he have to emphasize that you do this on Purim? Afila yantif nami. Afilu Yantif Nami. So what is the Gemara asking? It's saying even if Yantif falls out on Shabbos, you have to talk about Yantif? Or it means you have to lane the Yantif. Let's see, the Sanya, like it says in the, this is the final lines of Maseches Megillah here. Moshe Atikin Lem Yisrael, Sheyu Sholem V'Darshin B'Inyano Shel Yom. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takana L'Yisrael, one of the very earliest Takanas Drabbanan that dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, to lane, Shoalim V'Darshim is not lane. It means to discuss in Yano Shel Yom, the halachos of Pesach on Pesach, halachos on Shavuos, and halachos of Sukkos on Sukkos. So that, and that's based, the Gemara is based on the pasuk by Deber Moshe as Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael, that it's that you're supposed to or required to even discuss the halachos of the Inyana Diyoma as pertinent, as appropriate, and This is a braisa on the last daf.
I thought it's, Pesach is supposed to do 30 days before.
Right, that's a different thing. Is that 30 days before, you have to prepare for Pesach, and it doesn't really say for the other holidays, but at least for Pesach, maybe for the others as well, but the point is that despite having prepared, there's still the day of Bo B'Yom. On the day itself, you have to, and the Mishnah says only insofar as laning goes, but the braisa seems to say it this way, that it's Hilchos Pesach v'Pesach, Hilchos Etzeres v'Etzeres, and Hilchos Chag v'Chag. The Gemara over here assumes that it would be true, presumably, for the other holidays, even the minor holidays like Purim. So it's asking, why did Rabbi Shimon ben Levi have to emphasize Purim? Now, interestingly, it's why does he emphasize Purim or Purim on Shabbos? So Rashi, now Tosfos over here on the bottom of the page, says, look, if it's Purim that's not Shabbos, you don't have to do anything extra because the Kriyas HaMegillah certainly covers that requirement. You're certainly going to have plenty of mention of the story simply by reading the Megillah. It's only because you're not reading the Megillah on Shabbos that you have this issue of accomplishing the Inyana Diyoma without a Megillah, without Kriyas HaMegillah. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention this with respect to Shushan Purim, doesn't bring up this halacha at all. The Rambam does mention this halacha, and he mentions it specifically with respect to Shabbos. That when Purim, presumably Shushan Purim, falls on Shabbos, you have to do this kind of a thing. I don't know whether in Yerushalayim these days they emphasize it, but in any case, maybe they are satisfied with the Kriyas HaTorah that they do on Shabbos of Shushan Purim. So maybe that's considered sufficient. I don't know. It doesn't mention the story of the of Haman and Achashverosh and Mordechai and all that. But all right. So in any case, presumably that's what it should be. I don't know. It doesn't get a lot of press. This halacha, at least on Shushan Purim, doesn't really to us. On regular Purim, we don't have it. Then another Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. No, the Gemara asks, well, hold on a minute. We had a question. Why does he have to emphasize it about Purim Shechal B'Shabbos? Gemara says, well, Purim Mitzrichalei. Well, he felt he had to emphasize this with respect to Purim Shechal B'Shabbos, Mahu Desema Nigzer Mishem D'Rabba. And because you know what you might have thought. You might have thought that really you're not supposed to talk about it at all, because if you start emphasizing the Purim story on Shabbos, then you may actually pull out a Megillah and feel that it should be appropriate to do a Kriyas HaMegillah. Well, they disallowed Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos. Why? So Abba Gemara, without even describing it at all, or making any mention of it at all, or talking, it just refers to Gzeira of Rabbah. That's going to be on the Anamid base. They're going to discover that's what Rabbah says is the motivation behind the Mishnah's not allowing the Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos. We don't lean Kriyas HaMegillah. We don't lean Megillah on Shabbos. Doesn't explain why in the Mishnah. That's not the Mishnah's job. And the Gemara gives you some reasons on Amud Bey. So this Gemara over here just assumes that you know that it's based on what's called Gzeira de Rabba. We'll see that on Amud Bey. And maybe you might have thought that it's not appropriate to do any kind of, I don't know, maybe they shouldn't have a Torah reading on Shabbos. Maybe you shouldn't have Shiurim about it on Shabbos, I guess. Anyway, Kamash Milan, that kind of thinking is wrong. And that you would nevertheless, despite not having Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos, you should do the Kriyas HaTorah as well as Shiurim. The Yom Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, a new ruling from Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Chayev Adam Likros Es HaMegillah B'Layla Ola Shenosa B'Yom. You're required to read the Megillah at night and to Shenosa during the day. So what does that mean? Shenamar Elokayekra Yomam V'Lo Sana V'Layla V'Lo Dumiyali. Like it says in a pasuk in Tehillim, that a kra to Hashem by day, velo sa'ane, velayla velo dumi ali. And you and there's two separate time intervals for tefillah to Hashem. Yomam and layla, yomam and layla. So presumably that. The understanding what's going on over here may shed some light on what he understands the kind of an underlying idea of the Kriyas HaMegillah is on Shabbos, rather not just reciting the story, because it wouldn't necessarily relate to this pasuk if it were just about reading the story. So in any case, the Sabar Mina, and I guess at later times, when the Talmidim were kind of considering this statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's, they had not understood exactly what he meant, because the words that he used were a little bit confusing. He said, you have to krosas a Megillah b'layla. It doesn't say, and again b'yom. It doesn't say l'krosa b'yom. He just says l'shnosa b'yom. So the word l'shnos could mean several things. I mean, nowadays sometimes we have this kind of confusion about this word, because this word can mean simply like the word Mishnah. Lishanosa is exactly the same word as the word Mishnah. Lishanosa is to learn it. Also related to the word like Vishyanantam. I mean, similar, the limud, the word lishnos is to learn.
Based on this, isn't the Iker Kriya Megillah by Yom?
Well, it's unclear from this part at all. You can't tell at all which one an Iker would be. You wouldn't necessarily think there should be an Iker at all. It's just two times that you have to read the Megillah. But what we are saying...
We know that it's the Iker is by day.
Right, we know that the Iker is by day, but what do you mean you know it? I mean you were told it. Right, you're told it. So let's see. It says here, Rabbi ben Levi says you have to do it twice. He doesn't say it twice. He says you have to do it b'layla l'shnosa b'yom. It says, Savramina, the Talmidim, at some time, understood that he meant l'mikriye b'layla, to read the Megillah, recite it b'layla, u'l'misna masnisindida, and to learn its halachos, the Mishnayos, like Masechus Megillah here, b'yamama. That's what they thought he was saying. So Amar Lahu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah tells whoever was thinking this way, Rabbi Yirmiyah was telling them, no, you're totally misunderstanding. L'didim, if partially minei the Rabbi Chiya Baraba, no, it's been explained to me from Rabbi Chiya Baraba, who apparently is an authority on this, or at least on knowing what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was talking about. Kigon the Emri Inshi, no, he just meant, he was just saying a kind of a colloquial usage. Evar Parshas Adavi Yasaniyeh. Like how people would say, you know how Aramaic-speaking people would say, let me look over this topic and I'll review it. So using the shoresh of Tana, which is same as in Hebrew Shana Lishnos, is the other usage of Lishnos, which is to repeat, like Mishnah Torah, not the teaching, but the going over, the reviewing. So if you put it all together, it comes out that it was very clear that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying was that you have to read the Megillah twice, once at night and once during the day. Chaim is pointing out, though, that they're not equal, and if he's saying this statement, it must have been something that was not well known to everybody, it was not obvious, or some achronim actually say, it wasn't true, until he was saying that it was a requirement, because when you look at Mishnayos do mention details of the requirement to pierce Megillah only the daytime. They only talk about the daytime Kriyas HaMegillah. That's why Tosus over here on the page points out that the Ikra Kriya is Biyom. And what does that mean, Ikra is Biyom? It means the original Takana may have been Biyom. And that's why Tosus says, that's why we say Shechiyanu at night, and we say Shechiyanu again during the daytime. It's odd to do the Shechiyanu on the mitzvah twice, is because it's not the same mitzvah. The Shechiyanu B'Layla is the mitzvah of the nighttime Kriya. The daytime Kriya is not just redoing of the Kriya. So what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was emphasizing is ironic in light of the fact that they had misunderstood what he said and thought that they only wanted you to do Kriyas Megillah B'Layla. But once it was all straightened out and you put together the picture from what the Mishnayos later on do, comes out that really what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was doing was he was pushing for the nighttime Kriya. He was trying to emphasize the Kriya B'Layla, and the way he phrased it over here leads some achronim to say that it was precisely in order for the daytime Kriya, which is the main one, should not be your first encounter with the story, but you should already at least know the story well enough so that you can pay attention to the details of the story for the second time through, and that was what he was after and why you do a double Kriya. Okay, let's go on. Itmer Nami, we also have other statements from Amoraim. Itmer always means Amoraim. Amar Rebbe Chelbo Amar Ula Bira, Chayiv Adam Lekrasa Megillah Balayla, Ulishnos Biyom, Shene Amar, Lamani Zemercha Chavod Velo Yidom, Hashem Elokai Liolam Odeka. Same kind of a thing, you have to read the Megillah Balayla and Biyom. Based on a pasuk, Lamani Zemercha Chavod Velo Yidom. So it's kind of a zemer to Hashem and an odah to Hashem. Okay, slightly different from the pasuk that Rabbi ben Levi was quoting about praying. All right. In any case, those were all kind of halachos that we're all familiar with. Two dots. Elashak farim akdim in liyom haknisa. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was saying that the Kriyas HaMegillah is on the 14th of Adar, except if it's a walled city where it's Yushan Purim, and the 15th of Adar, except if it's a kfar where you go all the way back to Yom HaKnisa. So that whole mysterious institution of the kfar makim Yom HaKnisa, that's what we're going to be exploring a little bit now. Two dots. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chachamim hekilu al kfarim liyos makdim al Yom HaKnisa, kidei sheyisapku mayim mazon liyachem shebekrachim. Rabbi Chanina says, the Chachamim, and here the way it's phrased, it's a little funny. It's such a kind of an obscure topic to understand what they are kind of visualizing here. It must be that at the time that they're talking over here, this wasn't really going on. So they were kind of talking about what had been going on earlier generations. So they quote from Rabbi Chanina that the reading of the Kriyas HaMegillah on Yom HaKnisa, Yom HaKnisa was that Monday and Thursday, the market days, also the same as the Yom HaDin days, and also the same as the Kriyas HaTorah days. So all of that was going on, presumably in the larger cities, not in the villages. I guess the life in the villages was kind of different from life that we would kind of picture, where they didn't really have a minyan. Or maybe if they had a minyan, it was a minyan of people, maybe for tefillah purposes. They didn't really have much of a Kriyas HaTorah. They didn't really have a large enough and educated enough group to have full functioning internally within the kfarim, and so they were very dependent upon the nearby cities for these functions. So it says here that when Purim would fall sometime between a Monday or a Thursday, meaning not on Monday or Thursday, then they would read the Megillah on the prior Yom HaKnisa. And it says over here, this was, first of all, it says two things. This was a kula hekilu al kfarim. It's a leniency for the kfarim. And the second thing it says here is for the purpose, kidei sheyisapku, provisions for those Jews living in the karachim. So apparently the villages where they would manufacture the supplies, they would produce the supplies, and that they would sell them to the residents of the cities. I don't exactly know why water is one of those provisions, but I guess, bottled water. They had easier access to water. I don't know. Anyway, the Gemara says something is wrong with this whole picture. Lememra, you mean to say, is this actually trying to say the following? The takanta de krachim havu, that the purpose of it was, and this is what it says here, in order for the people of the villages to be able to provide, that's what the words are, kidesha yisapku, so that the people in the villages should be able to provide the provisions for the Jews of the Krachim. When was this? On Purim itself. It means that on Purim itself, that's what Rashi explains over here, try to get it like this. The Jews on Purim are going to have all kinds of needs. You know, there's a lot of mishloach manos that have to be bought, and the Suda's Purim, whatever. And so there's a lot of market activity. In order to enable that the market to be open for as long as possible, you have to kind of take Kriyas HaMegillah off the plate of the villagers, who are like the merchants, I suppose, so that they're available to sell to the Jews who are supposed to be in shul in any case, but aren't. So, but in any case, they're buying from them. Or like to set up shop. Okay, let's say to set up shop. So anyway, the point is that it's to take away, right, this is the concept, to take away the Kriyas HaMegillah so that they could come to the cities on Purim, but not have to lay in the Megillah. How do they do that? You'd have them read the Megillah, get that out of the way. Last time they came to the cities on the past Yom HaKnisa. The Gemara says, but hold on a second, that can't be. The Hatanan, if that's really what the purpose was so that there should be the villagers on Purim in the cities without a Kriyas HaMegillah. So if that's the case, so then how do you explain the following? The Mishnah says, if Chalios B'Sheni, what if Purim Yadalit falls on Monday? It says here that the Kvarim read the Megillah on that same day. Kvarim Ba'ayaras Gedolos Korim Bo B'Yom. It says that the Kvarim have to read the Megillah along with the people from the city, so that they're going to have to be busy. And so if the whole point is the Amisa, and if what's what you said was that it was in order to enable them to be free, you should have had them read the Megillah last Thursday. Likad Miliyam HaKnisa. Gemara says, well, no, that's impossible, because Havalahu Asara. Because if you work it out, if today is 14 on Monday, last Thursday was the 10th of Adar, and there's no provision for such an early Kriya. The Asara Lota Kinarabanan. The Gemara says, okay, but I mean, it's not so hard to show where that's not the only answer. Tashma, chalios bechamishi. Well, what happens when Purim falls on Thursday? If Purim is on Thursday, then going back to last Monday is still within the window. Kfarim v'ayaras gedolos korim bo b'yom. Same thing. The Kfarim are reading on the Thursday of Purim, and that means that they're not really available to set up shop so early, and they're not going to be available as the way the kind of the image of the what their services are supposed to be like. The Yemisa likad meliyom haknisa. The Acharasarhu, and that will be 11th. That is, they should be able to do it, and therefore that should have been required. The Gemara says, no, of course not. Yom HaKnisa, Yom HaKnisa, lo dachina. No, we're not going to push you off a kriya from Yom HaKnisa, Yom HaKnisa. It's never been made clear to me exactly what the logic here, or the purpose of this policy is, or who made up this policy, or what the basis of this policy is. It's just asserted as an obvious policy. You're not going to allow the kriya to be bumped from the one Yom HaKnisa to another Yom HaKnisa. Don't ask me why. It was obvious to them that this wouldn't be reasonable. And so that's just the way it is. So you couldn't object. So in other words, the point is that the fact that they didn't insist on a prior Kriyas HaMegillah does not show that when it's possible to do a Yom HaKnisa Dechia, that it wouldn't be for the motivation, as described over here, of making it better for the Jews in the Krachim. The Gemara says, hold on, it still doesn't work. Tashma, no, hold on, listen to this. This is going to shed some light on the question. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is coming from the Mishnah, the next Amar, Anhei Amar Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eimo Asai. When is there such a provision of Kriyas HaMegillah on Yom HaKnisa? B'mokom she'nechnasim b'sheni v'chamishi. If you're a place where you go in every Monday and Thursday, you always provide for the communities there, for the cities. But if you don't go in on Monday and Thursday every week, if your village does not make a regular trip into the city every week, Monday, Thursday, then ain't koronos el bizmana. Then you're going to have to read the Megillah on Purim. You're going to have to make the trip into the ear, and you're going to have to do the Kriyas Megillah on Purim itself. So now, let's try to understand the logic of this rule. If the whole point is that we want to have maximum market activity and maximum opportunities for the people residing in the ear to have plenty of provisions available, so then we should have expected the following law, that anybody who's ever providing anything to the cities would be required to read the Megillah early and to show up in the ear on Purim with their provisions. That would have been expected if that's what this is all about. It says v'isal gadayta v'takante dekrachim hi. So then, why should it matter? Mishum de'ei nechnasim b'sheni v'chamishi mafsidu lekrachim. You should deprive the krachim of the food opportunities just because these villagers don't routinely come in on Monday and Thursday. You have to kind of think about this a lot to understand what exactly the logic of the question is. But I think it has to do with this. I think it has to do with whether the expectation is that in order to service the cities, we should mandate that the kfarim do like what I described, is they should have to be present on Purim with their stuff without a requirement of the Kriyas HaMegillah, and it shouldn't depend upon whether routinely they go in on Mondays and Thursdays. The Gemara says, all right, it seems that law, the way Rabbi Yehuda described it, looks like it's not working with this understanding of what the purpose of the Yom HaKnisa is. Therefore, lo tema, so the truth is we're going to have to change what the explanation is. It's not kedesha yisapku mayim mazon ela mipnei shemisapkim mayim mazon lechem shebekrachim. It's not that it's in order to service the people in the ear, in the krach. It's a different thing. It's because normally that's what they do. Thanks. Normally that's what they do. They provide for the needs of the cities. And therefore, it's in their own interest to have the Kriyas HaMegillah pushed back to Yom HaKnisa, why is it in their own interest? Because they're not going to be coming on Purim. This changes totally the image of what was happening in the Kfar and in the Iyer around Purim time. This is because they're not going to be expected to show up in the Iyer on Purim at all. They're only going to have to make the trip on the prior Yom HaKnisa. They'll make all their provision. They'll sell what they're going to sell. And they're going to stay home on Purim where they don't have easy access to a Kriyas HaMegillah. And that's why this is a kula. That's why this is a leniency for the Bnei HaKfar. Whereas Rashi said on the base, it's that they have a hard time with Kriyas HaMegillah. So it's easier for them to do the Kriyas HaMegillah on Monday, Thursday when they're in the ear where there's some people who would be able to lane it for them. But they're not going to be coming to town on the day of Purim itself. That's actually pretty obvious from the Gemara later on. You're going to see on Perek Beis, it says that if any member of the Kfar happens to be in an ear on Purim, then even if they read it on Yom HaKnis, they're going to have to read it again on Yadalit. So anyway, this whole thing anyway couldn't really work the way it was originally proposed and originally understood. And of course it's this way. So they're not going to be expected to show up in the ear on Purim itself. All right, two dots. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah that goes through all the case by case, every single day of the week, how do you divide up the Kriyas HaMegillah between the Krach, the Iyer, and the Kfar? So, it says here, Ketzad. Okay, Chala Yos B'Sheini B'Shabbos, if Purim falls out, Yadalat Adar, which is regular Purim, falls out on Sheini B'Shabbos on Monday, then it says the Kfar Amiran. Okay, two dots. Now the Gemara is bothered by a kind of a stylistic objection, because the opening line of the Mishnah is that Kriyas HaMegillah can be on the 11th of Adar, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, in that sequence, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th of Adar. And then when it starts describing or illustrating the cases, it doesn't start with the case which leads to an 11th, the case that leads to a 12th. It doesn't do it that way. It kind of describes, well, let's say Purim falls out on a Monday, then you only have 2 days. It's only 14, 15. And then it gives a Tuesday scenario, which pushes back to a 13th. So it really is kind of building the days of the month backwards. It presents the days 11th, 12th, 13th, 15th, and it says, for example, and then it gives you like a 14th, 15th, and also then the next time is 13th, and a 12th, 11th. The final case to give it is the one that shows you the 11th, when it's on a Sunday. The Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, why does the first line, the Nakat Sidur de Yarcha, where it presents the sequence as days of the month. Umaishna Seifa, the Nakat Sidur de Yome. And why does, in the whole rest of the Mishnah, where it presents the cases, it presents the cases in the order of the days of the week? The Gemara says, well, it was felt that it's more helpful to the readers to have it presented this way rather than trying to maintain kind of the parallelism. Because it's harder to follow if you jumped around days of the week. That's how people would actually apply it. They would apply it based on days of the week. So if it's in that order as people are applying it, then it's easier. Since it would be reversed, Nakat Sidur de Yomi. It's a little bit unclear exactly how is it being reversed and when would it be reversed and what would make it reversed. But the gist of it, say again.
It went by the days of the month, and the days of the week would be reversed.
So in other words, maybe that's the point, is that it would force the kind of the presentation of the days of the week, which is more relevant for people who are trying to apply it, to get it all reversed. And so in the interests of clarity for the people who are learning the Mishnah, the Tanna presents it this way and sacrifices the parallelism of the first line. Okay?
Why don't we start with Sunday, then?
Say again?
Why don't we start with Sunday?
I mean, it should begin with the Sunday and then the Monday. Good call. Beats me. I don't know. Maybe a Christian influence is where the week starts with Monday to Sunday. Okay, two dots. Chalios be'erev sham. So here we get into the issues of what happens when Purim Yadalid falls out on Shabbos. So we all know for sure, this is absolutely crystal clear, and the Gemara is going to make this point much later on in the daf here, but that we're not reading the Megillah on Shabbos, whether it's the 14th or the 15th. So when that happens, therefore, that Purim falls, or Shushan Purim falls on a Shabbos, it has to be moved to a different day. But there are different logical possibilities for how that would happen. So our Mishnah presents it in its way, which is, when Purim falls out on a Friday, Shushan Purim is on Shabbos, so what happens in that case? What happens when Shushan Purim is Shabbos? So it says, we pull the Megillah back to Friday. So it turns out that everybody is reading the Megillah on Friday, except Kfarim are going to read it the previous day, the Yom HaKnisa, the day before Thursday. So here, two dots. The Gemara is now saying, Masnisen, Mani. Who would be perhaps the author of this Stam Mishnah? And what it's doing is, it is aware that there are some brises out there that name certain shitos of the Tanaim. And so what our Gemara is saying is that we can identify our Mishnah as being consistent with E. Rebbe Yossi. We've found brises there where Rebbe's shita is consistent with what's being said in our Mishnah, and Rebbe Yossi's is. But presumably other Tanaim, we're going to discover two other shitos in Tanaim, which have different models for how to handle the Shushan Purim on Shabbos situation. Gemara says, okay, let's see. My Rebbe, which was the Braisa that has Rebbe? The Sanya says in the Braisa, Chol Yos Be'Arif Shabbos, what do you do when Purim is Friday and Shushan Purim is Shabbos? Kfarim, the Kfarim who do Yom HaKnisa, and Ayaris Gedolos bump back to Yom HaKnisa. So that's odd. That's not what the Mishnah says. The regular cities, meaning most of the places in the world, are getting pushed back to Yom HaKnisa, Umukaf is Choma, and Yerushalayim, Karim Boba Yom. They read the Megillah on Friday. So nobody at all in the whole planet is reading the Megillah on the day that they normally would read. Right? The Kfarim would read on Yadalit, except they're bumped back to Yom HaKnisa for their purposes. The Yadalit people are being bumped back to Yom HaKnisa also, and the Mukaf is Choma people are being bumped back to Friday because of the concern of Shabbos. But Rebbe says, no, I don't see any need for that. Omer Ani, I think that it's proper, lo yidchu ayaras mimkoman, that the regular cities should read the Megillah on Yudalit alongside the Krachim. So now the Gemara asks, well, what's the reasoning behind each side? My time at a Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama push back the ear people, the regular people, back to the prior day, and we don't want you to read it on Yudalit? Because the Pasuk says, Bechol Shana Vishana, that you have to preserve these rules of Purim every year. It should be consistent every year. Michael Shana Vishana, in what way does it have to be consistent every year? Well, Ayaros Kod Muslim Makovit. You always have to have the non-walled cities and then followed up afterwards by the walled cities on a different day. So, Afkan Ayaros Kod Muslim Makovit. So once you're pushing back the walled cities, you're forced to push back the unwalled cities as well. But the Gemara says, well, I don't know, maybe that's not so consistent. Well, maybe it's more consistent to leave the cities where they would be normally, and that's more consistent year to year, because that's the way it would be every year. Afkan lo yidchu ayas mimkoman. So Tanakama would say, that would be true, except shayni hacha delo efshar. You can't in this case. You can't leave them there because it's going to run up against this other priority of having the two separate days for regular cities and for walled cities. All right. Now the Gemara says, "Rabbi Maitaima." Well, why does Rabbi not see it that way? Why does Rabbi see that you should leave the regular cities on Purim Yudalid and then bunch up the walled cities together with them on Friday, like our Mishnah says? That's why Rabbi could be the author of our Mishnah for this halacha. Well, because he's motivated by exactly the same consideration of consistency. B'chol shana v'shana. Ma'chol shana v'shana ain. Pasuk says b'chol shana v'shana. You have to be consistent. Ma'chol shana v'shana ain ayaras nidachin mimkoman. Afkan lo yitchu ayaras mimkoman. You have to leave the cities alone. Don't move them if you don't have to. The Gemara says, well, hold on a minute. V'aim b'chol shana v'shana. Ma'chol shana v'shana ayaras kodmus l'mukafin. Afkan ami. Well, why don't you insist on having the regular cities before the walled cities, like the Tanakama held? He says, well, I would. That's important, but that's not as important. Shayni hacha de lo efshar. I have no choice, because I can't keep the walled cities the day after the regular cities, because it's Shabbos. So it really boils down to only a question of which priority is the higher priority. Is it that you want to keep the days distinct, or you want to move as little as possible? Anyway, that was it for Rebbe. And then the Gemara says, there's another Braisa, my Rebbe Yossi. Which Braisa had Rebbe Yossi shita, Desanya? Chala Yosbi, Erev Shabbos. It's going to be a different Braisa. It's going to be the same issue. If Purim falls on Friday, and therefore Shushan Purim is Shabbos, Mukafin, listen to this, the Mukafin get bumped back to Thursday. So Shushan Purim, the walled cities people are going to have Kriyas Megillah back on Thursday with those scattered towns, the Kfarim, and Ayaros, Gedolos, Korn Bobiyom, and the regular cities are going to read on Friday. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, I don't get that at all. Ein Mukafin Kod Mili Ayaros. So you wouldn't read the Megillah on Yerushalayim before the regular Purim. Ela Eilav Eilav Korn Bobiyom. No, have them read together on the same day on Friday, which is what our Mishnah says, which is why the Gemara made the comment that Rabbi Yossi could be the author of our Mishnah as well. Now the Gemara is going to kind of ask the same questions and give the same type of answers as it did for the earlier Braisa. My time at a Tanakhama. What does Tanakhama want you to make Yerushalayim read the Megillah on Thursday, Erev Purim, on Tanis Esther? To receive, it says in the Pasuk, B'chol Shana V'shana. Malchol Shana V'shana Yaros, V'arba Asar. And Zmana Shazelo Zmana Shalzeh. We've seen that as a kind of a priority earlier on Daf Beis, the importance of keeping the days distinct. Avkan, Ayaris, Biarba Asar, Zmana Shazelo Zmana Shalzeh. So he's saying, look, you don't want to move if unnecessary, and you want to make sure also that the days of the walled cities and unwalled cities are separate. So the only way you can kind of pull that off is you lock the regular day of Purim onto Friday, and then once you're bumping off, in any case, Shushan Purim, so then you can't push it back to Friday, so push it back to Thursday. And okay, then you get that kind of ironic situation of Shushan Purim before Purim. Where it says, what are you talking about? Ve'ema, wouldn't you prefer instead, he says, B'chol Shana V'shana, Ma'chol Shana V'shana, Ein Mukafin Kod Mili Ayaros. You can't have the Kriyas Megillah in the walled cities before the regular Purim. Avkan ain't Mekovin Kod Mili Ayaros. The Gemara says that Tanakhama would say, Shani Hacha Delo Efsher. You have no choice. The Gemara goes through the same thing very predictably. No surprises here for Rabbi Yossi. My time with Rabbi Yossi, well, because it says, B'chol Shana V'shana, you need consistency. Ma'chol Shana V'shana, ain't Mekovin Kod Mili Ayaros. Every year, you have the Mekovin reading not earlier than the regular Purim. Avkan, you're not going to push off Ein Mukafin Kod Mili Ayaros. You're not going to have the walled cities read earlier than the regular cities. But then the Gemara says, maybe the other priority is more important. Ein B'chol Shana V'shana, Ma'chol Shana V'shana, Zman HaShelzeh, Lo Zman HaShelzeh, Avkan Zman HaShelzeh, Lo Zman HaShelzeh. But aren't you concerned about the fact that you're now lumping up the regular cities with the walled cities, and you don't normally do that? And it says, that's true. Ordinarily, I would avoid it, but shiny hacha dilo efshar. You can't avoid it here. Okay, then the Gemara says, hey, hang on a second. Something is wrong. V'savar Rebbe Ayaris lo dachinen liyom haknisa. Does that make sense? Is that really true? Did we get that Besorah correct? That Rebbe holds that you can't push the cities from their regular Kriya spot to Yom HaKnisa, which was, remember, in his Braisa, that was what the other Tana held, and Rebbe is not doing that. Gemara says, V'atani, but we have another Braisa. Chala Yos B'Shabbos. What happens if Purim falls on Shabbos? Kfarim, the villages, Makdim al Yom HaKnisa. The Ayaros Gedolos, Korin B'Erev Shabbos, U'mukovas Choma Le'Machar. So the Tanakhama now says, of this Braisa, this is a Braisa, which the Braisa deals with the situation of Purim itself on Shabbos. So you have the villages, they're on Yom HaKnisa. Villages are getting bumped back to Yom HaKnisa like you would expect. The regular cities, which can't read it on Shabbos, they're reading the Megillah on Friday. And the Mukafas Choma are reading it on Sunday because that's not interfering with Shabbos. That's what it says in our Mishnah. And Rabbi Omer Ani, Ho'al V'nitchu Ayaros Mimkoman, Yitchu Yom HaKnisa. And Rebbe says, you know, I think that you should already push back the regular cities to Yom HaKnisa also. So like Friday is a gap. So you see that Rebbe does want you to move the cities back to Yom HaKnisa, And so what is it, how is it possible that the earlier Braisa had Rebbe adamant about not moving the Ayoras to Yom HaKnisa? The Gemara says, what kind of a question is that? Achi Hashta. Achi Hashta, what kind of a comparison is that? Hasam Zmanim Shabbosi. This Braisa that we're talking about here, it's when Purim falls on Shabbos. Ho v'nidchu yidchu. Since anyway have to move the day, so Rebbe says, well, once you're already moving it, move it already to Yom HaKnisa so that it'll align with the other Jews of the Kfarim. But hacha, but when Purim is on Friday, Zmanam Erev Shabbos. It's a Friday. You could read the Megillah on Friday, so don't touch it if you don't have to. So there's no inconsistency there. The Gemara says, Kaman az lahadi amar Rabbi Chelbo amar Rabbi Rav Huna. Kaman, which means, according to which Tana, would az laha, this statement of the Amora Rabbi Chelbo quoting Rav Huna, Purim shechalios bishabbos, when Purim falls on Shabbos, hakol nidachem yom haknisa, everybody gets pushed back to Yom HaKnisa. Gemara says, hold on, that doesn't make any sense even on the face of it. Hakol nidachem zal gadaitach. You mean everybody gets pushed back to Yom HaKnisa? The Hayikamu Kafin. But all the people in the walled cities, Yerushalayim, the Avdi Lamachar, they're not getting pushed back to Yom HaKnisa, they're safe, they're Sunday. Ella, no. What he meant was, kol hanidche yidach el Yom HaKnisa. No, he means that anybody who's being dislocated should get mushed back to Yom HaKnisa rather than just push back the one day to Friday. So come on, Rebbe. Okay, that's pretty consistently. That's clear that he's following Rebbe's attitude about this. So now the Gemara says, finally, like the basic point, which it should have said, and we made a reference to earlier, Zekuli Alma Miyak Mekir Megillah B'Shabbos Lo Karina. Everybody agrees, however, that you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. That means everybody, as in every Tana. That means the Mishnah was clear about that. These Brises are clear about that. Everybody is clear that there's no Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos. My time. Why not? The Mishnah doesn't say. The Brisa never says. Amar Rabba, who is a mid-generation Amora, he's deep into the Amorayim, Rabba. He says, well, let me tell you what's going on. Hakol Chayav Mekriyas HaMegillah. Everybody has an obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah. And maybe Antikya Shuv doesn't matter. The Ena called the Kiyam B'Mikra Megillah, but not everybody can do it on their own. So therefore, Gezeira, the Tanoim imposed the Gezeira, Shem Yedlenu B'Yado, the Yelach Yitzel Baki Lilmod, V'Yavirenu Da'al Rabbis B'Shus HaRabim. We've seen this already in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, as what's called Gezeira de Rabba. You can't do these kinds of rituals on Shabbos, which require, you know, holding objects because of the concern of carrying. And then the Gemara finishes off, V'hainu taima de shofar, V'hainu taima de lulav. This is also the reason why they disallowed shofar on Shabbos, except in a Beis Din and Mikdash. And this is why they disallowed lulav, also, maybe with certain exceptions, as Maseches Sukkah. But this is what's going on for Megillah. And the Gemara says, not everybody apparently agrees with his explanation. Rav Yosef, who was a contemporary of Rabbah's, Omar, no, it's a different thing going on. No, it's a different thing. It's because the poor people, and the way it's painted over here, the Rishonim paint the picture is that, look, the poor people know that there's going to be a big payout on Purim because of Matanis Levyonim. And they also know that everybody is a captive audience in Shul on Kriyas HaMegillah. So you can kind of hover around the shul and expect to get lost. Now, if you're going to cancel Kriyas HaMegillah, then you're going to expect, you know, everybody has to kind of get, if Matanis Lev Yonim is supposed to happen a different day, then, so Matanis Lev Yonim has to be locked in with Kriyas HaMegillah. So if you're, that's the concept. So therefore, if Megillah falls out on Shabbos, and you're going to have to not do Matanis Lev Yonim on Shabbos, so that would be bad news. So, in the interest of the Aniyim, they have to move Kriyas HaMegillah off to a weekday so that it can be together with Matanis Lev Yonim. And then the Gemara says, and that's actually, that explains this other rule, Tanya Nami Hafi, and that's why there's a Braisa that says, Afal Pisha Amru Kfar Makdim Al Yom HaKnisa. Remember, the villagers, when they're reading the Megillah early in Yom HaKnisa, what about the other mitzvahs Hayom for them? So it says, well, they have Matanis Lev Yonim also on that day. Govin bo b'yom u'mechalkin bo b'yom. The Gemara doesn't like the wording. It says, even though the Kfarim are reading Yom HaKnisa, They give Matanas of Yonima that day also. The Gemara says, what do you mean, Afal Pisha Amru? Adarabba, Mishon the Amru. The Gemara says, okay, that's true, that's true. No, the Braisa is supposed to read like this. Hoel the Amru, Shakfar Makdim Yama Knisa, Govim Bobiyom. And that Bobiyom does not mean what you might have thought, that it means on the pure Purim day, it means on the day that the Kriyas HaMegillah is happening, Mechalkim Bobiyom, Ipnei, Sheinem Shelanim Nisuos, B'mikra Megillah. Aval, let's do one last line here. Aval Simcha! But the partying, the Seuda, the partying of Purim, the requirement of Seuda, Eina Nohages Ella Bizmana. That doesn't have to be pushed off, and that's going to happen on the day of Purim for the Bnei HaKfarim. They do Simchas Purim on Purim itself. What does this say about when Purim falls on Shabbos, or Shushan Purim on Shabbos? Purim Regal Purim doesn't fall out on Shabbos for us, but Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos for us. What does the Gemara say about Simcha? So Kriyas HaMegillah has to get pushed back to Friday. Simcha should, according to this Gemara, be on Shabbos. What really happens, though, is that there's a suffix about whether or not that's what this Gemara is saying, because this Gemara, the context really is not about Shabbos, it's more about the Kfarim. On Shabbos may or may not be true, because there's a passage in Talmud Yerushalmi that seems to be saying not to have your Seudas Purim on Shabbos. And so what they actually do in Eretz Yisrael is that they have a Meshulash. It's Meshulash for this purpose. It's for the sake that because we're not 100% sure exactly when the Seudas Purim is supposed to happen in Yerushalayim on a Purim Shechal Shushan Purim Shabbos, so they're going to do Kriyas HaMegillah Friday, they're going to do Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, and maybe some of the Seuda on Shabbos, but the Seuda also on the Sunday, which is not even Shushan Purim, it's the day after Shushan Purim, but that's the Meshulashi part, consistent with Talmud Yerushalmi, which may or may not be against this line in our Gemara here. Okay.
How come we push off the